A dangerous attitude is to assume that a person's place or position relieves an individual from the duty of serving others. This story from the pages of American history shows this very clearly. A rider on horseback, many years ago, came across a squad of soldiers who were trying to move a piece of heavy timber. A corporal stood by, giving lordly orders to heave, but the piece of timber was a trifle too heavy for the group. "Why don't you help them?" asked the quiet man on the horse, addressing the imperial corporal. "Me? Why, I'm a corporal, sir." Dismounting, the stranger carefully took his place in line with the soldiers. "Now, all together, boys, heave!" When he did this, the big piece of timber slid right into place. The stranger mounted his horse and addressed the corporal. "The next time you have a piece of timber for your men to handle, corporal, send for your commander-in-chief." The horseman was George Washington. I have sometimes been accused of stepping on people's toes with my sermons. As we look at today's verses, I may do that again today. But Peter has me taking my right foot today and stomping right on the left toes of my other foot. I'm called pastor of Berean Baptist Church. An important call as I lead the church in the ways of God. But our Lord Jesus has given us many timbers to lift in Berea. If I just stand back and bark orders, expect everyone to follow, the timbers may be a shade bit too heavy for the church to lift. And the lead may get a little bit tired of the leader. Jesus Christ is the commander-in-chief of this church. It was bought with his precious blood. He leads it, protects it, builds it, and loves it. At best, I am a mere corporal. Looking snazzy in my uniform with its pretty stripes and everything up there, up in front here, barking orders and things like that. But placed at his pleasure and serving at his pleasure, doing only what he calls me to do. Do this, the church will have the timbers put in place where it will be built, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. Seeing timbers, it is critical I do call on my commander-in-chief. He will tell me where those timbers need to go. But then I need to get in line and help the leader, help the others in the church put those timbers exactly where Jesus Christ told me to put them. Today, Peter shows us how a church can remain strong in light of persecutions. We need to be unified. The amazing thing is, Jesus Christ wrote the instruction manual. He shows the church how to be unified. We need to be all pulling in the same direction, receiving instruction from His Word, receiving wisdom through prayer in every one of us, taking our place in the line to move the timbers that our commander-in-chief has called us to move. We submit to His authority, we submit to His leaders, and we submit to each other. And then we give our commander all praise, honor, and glory for the victory he has already obtained on the cross. Let's look at Peter's encouragements and warnings to both pastors and congregations today from his word in his series on how to be a proper priest of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, we realize that you are truly the commander-in-chief. You have bought the church with your blood. You are capable and worthy to lead the church where you would have it to go, Lord. We may be uncomfortable. We may not know exactly why you're leading us in certain ways. We may even disagree in certain areas. But Lord, you are worthy. You are the one to tell us what to do, and we need to humble ourselves in front of you. First of all, as pastor, Lord, and then as members, all pulling in the same direction to accomplish your will in this world, to gather the sheaves of wheat to bring in your harvest. Lord, let us do what you would have us to do. Let us humble ourselves. Let me as pastor especially know that you are the one in charge and no one else. We ask all of us in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. We see once again how Jesus Christ designed the church to withstand the very gates of hell. He said he's going to build his church. Now, Matthew talked about that. He will build his church to stand against the very gates of hell. But you know what? He is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock. But he has chosen us to be the stones on top of there. And by having faith in him, he will use us to withstand the very gates of hell. Talk about amazing glory. You're actually being used by the creator of all heaven and earth. This afternoon, we're going to show you exactly how insignificant we are compared to all creation. You know, we can't even imagine this universe. And yet he uses each one of us to be a stone to build his church to glorify himself and his Father. We need to be led by faithful pastors, leading in his spirit and his truth. We need to have faithful members, following pastors as they follow Jesus Christ, all honoring our high priest, and once again, giving him all praise, honor, and glory. For there is nothing we can do apart from his great strength. Now, Peter starts with his bona fides. He places himself in the same category I am, talking to elders who is also an elder. Elder here is the same word translated as pastor. But as he sets himself as an example, to me, I'm a pastor, I'm talking to you other pastors, he is actually so much more. Peter is an elder, but he is something I can never be. He's also an apostle, called by Jesus Christ to observe, learn, and establish his church, once again, that the gates of hell can't go against, and he's the one that opened the door to allow me to enter in. He is called to tell me what to do as a pastor. He is allowed to force me to change my ways because he was given that unction by God. And he does so today by the word given him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm not an apostle. I would not be able to correct Peter as Peter is able to correct me. In fact, I'm the called pastor of Berean Baptist Church. I do not have the unction to establish proper practices in other churches. As Paul asks in Romans 14:4, who art thou that judges another man's servant? That other man will be judged by God and God alone, not by me. Praise God, because that means I'd be judged by them also. It wouldn't be a good thing at all. I can discuss. I can sharpen the iron of other pastors. I can disagree or warn them about heresies. But I am only called to pastor Berean Baptist Church. And I'm only a corporal under our great commander-in-chief. Now, seeing in these verses the critical nature of proper pastoral authority, we see three things. First of all, pastors as under-shepherds. Second, members as sheep. And finally, everyone humbling, following Jesus Christ. So, pastor as under-shepherd. My job here as pastor is to feed the sheep. It's a flock that Jesus Christ has established. Jesus Christ has called people to lead those flocks under his authority. I happen to be called right now. There's going to be a day, if Christ does not return, that I will no longer be pastor here. We tend to get old. You know, we have a perfect, until Christ returns, we have a perfect mathematic equations. One birth equals one death. Eventually, he will call a different pastor. It'll be the under-shepherd here. You will choose him. Make sure you choose one that understands that God, that Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief. I'm not to drive the sheep to a place of my choosing. I'm to follow the commander-in-chief. He's going to tell me what pastor we go to. I'm to lead them faithfully to that pastor, feeding the sheep with his word, guiding them from poisonous pastors of Satan's heresies, using God's rod of correction that he has given me to bring wayfaring sheep back to the fold, and then protecting the sheep, putting their needs in front of my own, warding off goats and predators as I seek sheep sheared by Satan's lies in the world and bringing them into the flock that he has chosen. Now, to be successful, I need to understand my place, according to Peter right here. Understand what Paul understood in 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm not a paragon of virtue demanding my way. I'm a fellow sinner called to lead other sinners to humble ourselves in front of a holy God. That's my job. I'm a sinner like everyone else, a beggar showing others where bread is. I have been given one of the gifts of Jesus in Ephesians 4:11. To be a pastor is one of the gifts that he did give. And I'm expected to exercise that gift. Learning humility, as Jesus showed humility, and submission to the Father. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." I have no ability of my own as pastor. I can only do what Christ strengthened me and called me to do. Now, when Jesus lifted up Peter in John 21:15-19, three times he told Peter to feed my sheep. He used three different words for the sheep. First of all, he used lambs, brand new Christians. Then maturing sheep, young sheep, learning how to mature. And finally, sheep, the mature of the church. I'm responsible for ensuring that everyone gets closer to God, no matter where you are in your spiritual walk. And I must humbly follow that example and hold Berea in unity. I pray I'm a pastor, seen in Jeremiah 3:15. "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." The knowledge he's talking about is not my knowledge. You don't want my knowledge. My knowledge is no better than yours. You want his knowledge. The knowledge you want is the knowledge that Jesus Christ would speak through me. I don't want any of my lies to come through. I only want his truth. And I can only do that if I faithfully follow him and I have the prayers of the people of Berea. Now, I'm not the head of Berea. Jesus Christ is. I cannot drive, because if I do so, I will drive the flock away from the pastor Jesus Christ intended. I can only lead as he leads me to allow him to build this church. If I want to see humble service to Jesus Christ in this church, I need to display humble service to Jesus Christ. If I want people to be sacrifices to Jesus Christ, I must be like Paul in Philippians 3:8 and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be willing to suffer the loss of all things, that I may win Christ. My job is to follow the example of Paul, who followed the example of Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 20, verses 24 to 23. So Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not sinned, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel." With this example and the qualifications given in the pastoral epistles of what I'm supposed to be as a pastor, believe me, I fall very far short, which is why I covet and need your prayers to be able to be the pastor that God intends in Berea. If I try to do it on my own, I am incapable of following that call. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Guess what? Every one of you are incapable of doing your calls. But that same Christ will strengthen you. That's why we need to pray for each other. Successful pastors can't let pride infiltrate. "I'm seeing a church grow. I'm seeing so much growth. Man, I'm something, aren't I?" That's when a pastor falls. They think they have the right to lord over the flock. They become like Diotrephes, was in third John. Go ahead and read that this afternoon if you really want to know what I'm talking about. That will drive the flock away from green pastures and into my own stony pastures, thinking they deserve to partake in physical riches also, as they teach spiritual riches. Now, it's amazing. Peter wrote this. I'm not to serve for filthy lucre. Filthy lucre, taking unjust money, unjust beyond what I am supposed to do for Jesus Christ. Now, trust me, there was no filthy lucre for pastors when Peter was writing this. If you were a pastor, you're probably going to be a lion chow pretty soon. You are probably going to lose jobs. You are going to suffer greatly. Shows the amazing Holy Spirit writing this book. He is writing to us. Are there pastors out there serving for filthy lucre today? Yeah, we had that guy out there, Creflo Dollar. Jesus wants me to have this jet. He served because he thought he was great. He served because being so great, he could get so much money. Getting so much money, he could show others how to get so much money and draw people to Christ. That is serving for filthy lucre. Peter saw this because the Holy Spirit gave it to him. I wouldn't have saw it. That's why Peter can correct me and I can't correct Peter. He was an apostle written by inspiration. I am not. So he saw the prosperity preachers becoming prosperous from the pennies of petulant sinners that they have pinched, is what it amounts to. My job is to be an example. Not following other pastors, thinkers, teachers, but only the Holy Spirit as he leads here in Berea. Who am I to judge another man's servant? At the same time, who are they to judge me? I am accountable to you, as we shall see in a little bit, but I am accountable to the Holy Spirit. We are one small flock called to do as God sees fit. If I serve Berea as Jesus served in humility, we will succeed. Jesus will give me a crown of glory for my faithful servant, he says there. At the same time, I am nothing more than an unprofitable servant, having done only that which was my duty, as called for in Luke 17:10. But by faith, if I follow his call and lead, he will reward me far more than I can imagine and far more than I deserve. As Paul, leading the church built in the image of Christ, not in the image of his unfaithful corporal. So we see me as an under-shepherd, the members of sheep. If I'm the called leader of Berea, God has called a body to follow my lead as I follow Jesus Christ. If I'm a gift to the church, as he said in Ephesians 4:11, I must be packaged by his word with the intent that God has given me to lead in Berea. Now, if I am, it says here, the younger is supposed to follow the elder. Younger here is not physical age, it's spiritual age. 1 Timothy 3:6 says, novices are not to be chosen as pastors, lest they be lifted up with pride and fall into condemnation of the devil. That would be the younger. I am to feed the entire flock, making babes become mature in their spiritual age so they can take their place in the body. Basically, my job is to train everyone to take my place if God calls. Our commander-in-chief has once again named me corporal in Berea. I must humbly be willing to listen to others with strengths where I'm weak. I'm a great singer, right? Darn.
Someday you're going to get somebody to agree with you.
someone worse than me, right? So, I am responsible to Jesus, our Lord, for my stewardship of his flock in Berea. There are people here with strengths I don't have. There are people here who know what they're doing better in areas that need to be done here. If I'm a faithful, which is required in stewards, it's critical that the body follow me so we'll all arrive at the destination he has selected for us, but at the same time, help me where I'm weak. And then realize where I'm strong and maybe follow my lead where they don't quite understand. But I need to do the same thing with the membership. There are people out here who have strengths, people out here who know what they're doing, people out here who God has called to do certain things in this church. And if I don't recognize it and I need to be preeminent over everything, I will make it so that part of the church will not be successful. But if we all realize we need to be submit to each other, submit to me as I submit to Jesus Christ, we will have the knowledge that Jesus Christ is with us. Turn to Matthew. Did I say chapter 11? Chapter 11 doesn't sound right. Oh, yeah, it is. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus Christ has given us the destination and the timbers. I am the corporal in charge of the wagon and the route. The wagon must all move in unity, lest a load be lost and not delivered to our commander. The thing about a yoke, when you put a yoke on a group of oxen, all those oxen move in the same direction. Who's the yoke? Who's the yoke master? Jesus Christ. I am to put myself under that same yoke and then lead the people in unity in one direction. That's the whole idea of a yoke. Make sure the church is pulling all in the same direction. Now, we see members should obey pastors in spiritual matters in the church. I am not spiritual head of families. Make no mistake. Husbands are. I am a spiritual leader under Christ in Berea. As such, members submit that the church be unified under the pastor's vision. Now, if you have a problem with the pastor's vision, let me know. I'm not perfect. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Our vision must be unified to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have a rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's unprofitable for me too, but it's unprofitable for you is what it's saying, because you're starting to pull the church on a different part of the yoke. What happens? Your neck starts getting kind of sore, because the yoke's going this way, and you're trying to pull it that way. So you need to all be pulling in the same direction. If you don't go into that unity, you start pulling different directions. And pretty soon, you'll throw that yoke off. And you end up leaving. That's how church splits happen. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. The church has to follow me as I've received my call from Jesus Christ. I will be judged for that stewardship. Now, there's a thing there, even as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, there is a way in the Constitution to remove me from this pulpit, and it is incumbent on you to do that. We need to make sure that my vision is the same vision the Bible has. That's why we're Bereans. Now, I pray that when I go and have my stewardship judged, I will be able to do it with joy. Help me by submitting to Jesus Christ, who called you to submit to me in my vision, and show me if we can do it better. Now, without that, we need to make sure that we all humbly follow Jesus Christ. To be clothed in humility, I must humble myself and submit to the body as the body submits to me. I'm to submit to you by you being Bereans. Compare everything I do with Scripture, and I mean right down to the jot and tittle. If they do not match, please let me know. As I said, I'm going to be judged for my stewardship. You're doing me a great favor if you see me falling short somewhere in Scripture. Look at Acts 17:11 in our bulletin. That is what our call is. No, Paul went to Berea. Paul saw the Bereans. He preached the Bible. What did they do? They searched the Scripture daily to see if what Paul said was true. Once they found out what Paul said was true, they followed him. That's exactly what we need to do here. When I give you a sermon, make sure what I say is following this word. Once it is, then you follow me. If it's not, then we have a problem. You need to correct me or determine where the disagreement is. Maybe it's your mistake, but it doesn't make any difference. Make sure you're following Jesus Christ, and my words are coming by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not by my own brilliant ideas. Mary says, I'm not always so brilliant, but that's beside the point. You need to live it and hold me to the Scripture. Pastors are men. Make no mistake. They're subject to the same sins that everybody else is. They can be subject to pride, forgetting that they can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens them. They start thinking, I can do all things for Jesus Christ by my own strength. They've done it so long, and it looks so wonderful. But what happens before a fall? Pride cometh before that fall. They become self-important, as they become the Diotrephes of 3 John 9, where he wanted to take the preeminence of the church. Jesus must decrease, that I may increase and draw people in, that they will honor Jesus. Is that what John the Baptist said? I need to make sure that I decrease, that Jesus increases. If you see me starting to have a root of pride, tell me quickly. That is an abomination, it says in Proverbs, and it's something that a pastor can fall into. That's why I need to submit to the membership, so the membership can keep me straight, that I can then follow the way Jesus Christ wants me to. This is a pastor-led church, but it's under the authority of Jesus Christ. If I offend any, I'm an under-shepherd who's also a sheep. Let me know that I've offended you so I can repent. If there's a doctrinal issue, talk to me. If there's a sin issue, I am subject to the same commands that every single person here is subject to. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. I just received a very generous gift that follows this verse very well, and I thank you for it. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now, it doesn't say don't rebuke an elder. Just do it the right way. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Rebuke me to teach me, to teach others if I need to be rebuked. Showing I am no better than anyone else. I am under the same commands of Jesus Christ. Now, there needs to be respect there, no question about it. That's why 1 Timothy is a little bit different than Matthew chapter 18. But if I deserve a rebuke, I need to get it, to show that it's Jesus Christ that leads the church, not me. Now, I've been rebuked in this church before, not for sinful practices, but for practices when I was learning how to be a pastor, and I was greatly appreciative of it because I could correct the small errors I was making to align this church closer to what Jesus Christ did. So once again, if you rebuke me for something I'm doing wrong, you're doing me a great favor. Now, Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Notice that multitude of counselors again. The Holy Spirit works through every one of us. Now, I got some ideas. I think they're pretty good ideas, quite frankly. But there's also things that I look at that maybe don't work quite as well as I think. Other people coming in, they see areas I'm not seeing so well. Help me to determine that vision far better, strengthen that vision, and make it so we can follow Jesus Christ that much better. It's a multitude of counselors we need. Not a bunch of pew potatoes listening to me and going home and not worrying about church anymore. We need to have everyone pulling in the same direction, bringing in their ideas, praying to the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit lead them, that we can establish the proper yoke for Jesus Christ and bring it to the pastor he desires. And Proverbs 27:17 adds this, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A humble pastor knows he does not have all the answers. The entire body works together under the yoke of Jesus Christ. I have strengths and weaknesses that none of you have. That's a true statement. But guess what? Every one of you have strengths and weaknesses that nobody else has. The idea of the church is to use all those strengths, bring them together, making it so those strengths can move this body forward and make it so those weaknesses can be overcome and we can be strong, much stronger in unity than individually. I may pray, study, and determine the overall vision that God has given me for Berea. But all of you are led by the same Spirit and can bring cautions and ideas to bear. It's already happened in many areas of our committees. With all the irons and the fires we have right now, all the opportunities God's thrown at, He's thrown a bunch of things at us right now. There are things happening in Berea that God is moving, and I don't know which direction to take, quite frankly. I have some ideas, but when we move forward, we need to be unified in prayer. We need to seek what God's wisdom is. We need to come together and figure out what Berea needs to do. And once it's determined, then allow me to take the vision, move forward, and submit to me, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. We must all submit to each other, humbly pray for each other, and sharpen each other's iron. So looking at this, what do you say here? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humbles. We've humbled ourselves already. If you're saved, you've humbled yourself in front of the cross of Jesus Christ, realizing that you deserve hell, realizing the only way to justify yourself in front of a holy God is to come to that cross and accept His free gift. And there's nothing in you that is worth anything except that God loves you. That's humbling. Now, seeing ourselves in the light of God, how can we have any pride of position at all? Now, I'd be just like that corporal. You want me to lift up that timber? Give me a break. as the commander-in-chief steps down and does the same thing. That's the same thing me as a pastor expecting any pride of position would have. I'm going to do that in front of Jesus Christ. We look at that in Revelations today. John is the apostle that Jesus Christ loved. He laid his head on the breast of Jesus Christ at the Passover dinner. He was greatly loved. When he saw Jesus Christ in all his glory, he fell as dead. He could not stand there because of the glory of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to think I'm something for him. I'm an unprofitable servant doing what I'm called, period. And that's what every one of us need to realize. We are priests under a high priest because he has made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. He purchased the church with his blood. He not only considers us, but he uses us in his eternal plan. He will then glorify us for merely obeying his commands in his church, and that to me is beyond comprehension. He gives me the plan, he empowers me to do the plan, and if I do the plan, he rewards me for doing it. I'm an unprofitable servant. Why do I deserve anything? But he's promised me a crown. He's promised all of you crowns also in glory if you do that. We should humbly serve and lift each other up here that he may exalt us in due time. Now Paul, greatest preacher of all time, asked for prayer in every single one of his epistles. He knew the grace needed to avoid both pride and anger. If Paul needed it, let us humbly admit that we need it also. If I'm successful here, it's because of the prayers of the Bereans asking Christ to strengthen me in my leadership in the church and give me the wisdom. Let us pray for each other that he will give us the grace to remain strong, holy, and powered by that grace. Under his mighty hand, we humble ourselves that he may exalt us in due time. Jesus is our joint heir. Again, that's beyond comprehension to me. I'm not only going to heaven, I'm going to be a part owner of heaven. And that is true with everyone here who is saved. Think of that position he's given you. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it, but he's given it to us by his love. He uses us to build his church that will withstand the very gates of hell. Peter witnessed the suffering of Christ. His record allows us to see the suffering of Christ and understand it. Let us not serve only for what we can get here. Let us serve to glorify the man who sacrificed all for our redemption. As he strengthens us, let us not show too much pride, but submit to him and each other to unify a body under our commander-in-chief. Jesus is the commander-in-chief of every single church. I am a corporal only to the Berea, called here to serve in Berea. I am to be submitted to in order to unify the body under the yoke of our commander. Not because I'm so wonderful, it's because there can only be one head of any organization. I'm the called pastor. He asked people to submit to me. I'm then to submit to the body to ensure I'm following the commander's commands so that they will have confidence in submitting to me. If you're confident that I'm following the word, there's no reason you shouldn't submit to me. If I'm going in different directions, then the body loses confidence. We are to submit to Jesus so we can show the world the love of Christ to a lost and dying world, that they may come to him and see a body unified. You see too many... Look at Congress. They're a unified body, right? We show what unity looks like. We show things getting done by the power of Jesus Christ, not our own. And with that, turn your hymnals to 494. And what do you want to do? Is that your prayer? Do you really want to serve him? If it is, here am I, Lord, send me, is what your prayer should be. Now, Mary's going to have to help me get down to the stairs today because I forgot my steel-toed boots. And stomping my own toes today quite a bit. We all fall very short. But don't let that stop you from serving. Don't let that stop you from answering his call. If you fall down, get up. Pretty much what it amounts to. He will use your failures to make you stronger in the future. And we need to make sure we understand that. When you see me fail, it's because I'm a man. Don't lose confidence in me just because I make a mistake. Come, correct me, show me where I'm wrong, and we can move forward. But the idea is, you submit to me not because I'm so wonderful. It's because the body has to be unified under somebody. That's what he's saying. So let us come together. Let us work hard to determine what the timbers are that he has us building his church with. Let us find a pastor that he wants us to go, and in unity, go to that pastor. As we go to prayer, ask God what he would have you to do. Here am I, Lord, send me. Where? I don't know. I know my call. I don't know yours. But God will have a call for every one of you. to help in Berea and maybe set up another church somewhere else. I don't know. But ask God what your call is, how to be used, how to unify in the body, and how to use your strengths to make it so we can be one unified body serving Jesus Christ the way as our commander-in-chief. And after one verse played, I'll close this in prayer. He was called, and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Lo, I've seen the Lord, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the land of unclean lips. Lord, we look at ourselves, and we look at your holiness. And Lord, we realize there's nothing we can do. You are so holy. You are so great, so mighty. And we are mere men, worthless in your eyes, absolute sinners. And yet you use us, Lord. And yet you lift us up, you build us, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, give us that confidence. Give us that love. Give us that desire to serve you. Give us that desire to unify as a body, to move forward, to make Berea what you would have it to be. Not our vision, Lord, but your vision. Lord, let me be a corporal. Let me only take orders from our commander-in-chief. Let me only be the one to lead where you would have us to go. And let the followers, let the body of this church follow me in confidence, knowing that I'm going where you would have us to go. And Lord, if I stray, correct me by however needs to be done, whether it's by members, whether it's by chastisement, whatever. But allow this church to glorify you in all ways and allow us to have that vision, waiting for when our faith shall become sight and we will see you as you are. We look forward to that day, but until then, we know there's work to do and allow us to do it. If there's any Lord here that aren't saved, have not seen that glory yet, allow today be the day. Allow today be the day that their hearts be changed, and they will worship you in spirit and truth forevermore. We ask all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.